Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Lastminute Group Investor Conference Call. I'm Sarah, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Nicola Bossi, Head of Investor Relations of lastminute.com. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining our first half 2017 Investor and Analyst Conference Call. The focus today will be on showing our financial results and give you some insight on how the business is going. And then we will give you a brief overview of what we announced this morning with regards to a possible transaction to be executed on the company issued capital. We will conclude with a Q&A session open to all people connected here. We are here today with Fabio Cannavale, our CEO, and Stefano Biffi, our CFO. As a general statement, I remind you to take a look at the disclaimer that we have on page 2 of this presentation and on the importance of being cautious in the evaluation of forward-looking statements included in this document. Now I let Fabio Cannavale start with key messages referring to what we are doing and how things are going from a business perspective. Please, Fabio, go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. As we go to slide 3, we repeat our statement, our mission. We aim to be the relevant and most inspiring travel company committed to enrich the life of travelers. How we implemented this strategy? We have three main pillars: the personalization, to build reputation and brand equity, and to have a good talent. So we started with last year with the reshape of our company, and we understood that our focus should be in the new technology, not on the site and the mobile site, but on our customer. And so it means that our aim is to have a personalized information for each different customer. To do that, also, we want to build our brand equity and the customer perception that we think is a key asset for our group. And to enforce this strategy, this year we invested even more in increased investment in brand awareness, in offline campaign, especially in Italy, France, and UK. And then the third big pillar for a company is to have the best talent, to have data science, marketing technology with a good capability in delivering the best information to everyone. And to have that, we really need to have the best talent. In the last year, we reshaped also our management group. We have in the top, 50 top manager, we have about 50% of the team that is new. Then if you go to the result, the trend is still the same that we were facing in the last quarter of last year. So we have we are facing since years a declining activity of flights. Our flight, as you can see, went into revenue from 50% of our revenue to 43%. 5 years ago, flight were 80% of our revenue. So fortunately, we were thinking ahead of this change and we invested a lot in meta and dynamic packaging. So this year we have, as I repeat, in the first semester, a slight decline in revenue and in margin in flights, not in volume, because there is more competition and essentially competition is a trend of the market. Why? Dynamic package is growing double digit at 22%, and meta business also is growing very fast, as last year is still growing 30% also this year. And also the media company, the media part of the company, advertising collecting is growing very steadily. So at the end, we have the revenue not from transactional part, but went in 2 years from 2 years ago from 13% to 26%. So we doubled this share of this. Now I leave the word to Stefano for the presentation of the economics of the first half.
Thank you, Fabio. Coming to the figures of the first half, you explained very well what is going on about the revenues. Revenues is a decrease in 2.2%, as we said, with two different trends, the very different trends. One is very positive, auto dynamic package, meta search, and media that are growing double digits at the end. From the other side, we have flights suffering from regulatory and a very strong competition. We have also an impact of GBP euro rate that was unfavorable for this period, but also the consolidation of GAR2 SPA, that means 2.3 million euro. On the marketing in terms of values is in line with last year, but with a very, very big difference in terms of share, meaning that we have decreased the performance marketing and increased the offline one for the TV campaign that Fabio mentioned, and we are speaking about an increase of 180% against the year before and 5 million euro in terms of value. HR cost, there is an increase here too. As Fabio mentioned, we have started a plan of recruiting talent for the group. We have reshaped the company, and this means that we have invested a lot in areas that are very important core for the business. And here the increase is close to 6.9 million euro. On the other cost, there is an efficiency plan that started, and here we have the opportunity to see the first result of this action plan, meaning that we have decreased the cost against the same period of last year of 2.3 million, and the cost ratio passed from 27.6% up to 26.4%, also considering the decrease of our revenues. That is a great result. We are speaking about efficiency, renegotiation, and not cut of cost, of course. This carries the company to have an EBITDA IFRS that passed from 14.7 million euro of last year up to 7.5 of this one. If you go ahead, we do see the depreciation and amortization that are slightly higher than last year, but this is connected to the fact that we have a higher capitalization that are connected to the huge amount of work that we are doing in terms of developing our platforms and our projects to improve our customer approach. In the net financial effect, we have a positive extraordinary gain from a minor deal that is offset by some GBP FX rates that have a negative impact on that side. For the rest, we are speaking about income taxes. Income taxes are higher thanks to or due to the fact that we are speaking about a meta business that is growing double digit in terms of revenues and, of course, in results. And the results pass from 4.1 million euro up to 0.1, so basically is break even. Coming to net financial position, the net financial position on total level has improved from 71 million euro up to 79.5. There is a big change in trade working capital that is mainly connected to the mix of the business, speaking about the fact that we are working highly or much more with hotels, mainly throughout dynamic packages. And there is also a huge and important renegotiation in terms of credit card payables of a value of 13.5 million euro, passing through credit line and payment terms up to where we were in the prepaid cards. Improvement of reimbursement of tax prepaid are impacting positively the other operating flows. There is a CapEx that, as I said before, are higher but offset by financial proceeds. And there is also in cash from financial activities a higher effect that is connected to the share buyback program that passed from 8.2 million from the 2.1 of last year. We have also reimbursed a credit line of 4 million, and this is at the end what carried the results of an improvement of 71 million euro of net financial position of June up to 79.5 of this June. That's it. I do pass the stage to Nicola.
Okay, thank you, Stefano and Fabio. Let me briefly introduce the item of the so-called PSTO. We are moving to slide 11.
I want to clearly state that what we are reporting today is a decision of a board of directors to investigate the opportunity of a transaction on our capital structure. That's the reason why the notes you find on this presentation refers to factual information and some few technical aspects describing in general terms what partial self-tender offer is. So, sorry for reading the bullet points, but for the sake of clarity, I would prefer to limit any comments and speculation about the transaction that, as you have noted, is still to be evaluated, and only whether deemed as feasible and valuable in the interest of the company by the appointed special committee will be then executed in the future. So, the PSTO, the partial self-tender offer, is an offer launched by the company over a portion of its own issued capital. The offer has to be launched at a fixed price in a specific period of time. Normally, we are talking about 10 to 20 trading days, and must be authorized by the an authority in Switzerland, which is called a Swiss Takeover Board. The company being listed in Switzerland is not entitled to repurchase and hold an amount of shares above 33.3% of its total issued capital. The repurchased shares can be cancelled and after 2 months, creditor opposition notice. This mandatory requirement comes from Dutch laws. I remind that lastminute.com is a Dutch company, even if listed in Switzerland. So the deal must be evaluated in a framework of rules, which is a blend between Swiss and Dutch norms. Then we can move to slide 12. From, I would say, a more practical perspective, it is worth to highlight that the board of directors appointed the special committee fully empowered to autonomously decide in the interest of the company on whether to launch the offer we are talking about. After being granted by the extraordinary general meeting that we have convened this morning to resolve in that respect, and that will take place on the 21st of September 2017. Such special committee is composed by three non-executive directors, the chairman of the board of directors, Mr. Otto Nel Popesco, Ms. Anna Gatti, and Mr. Roberto Italia. What is, I think, again, very important to underline that occasion is that the company has not launched the offer yet. It's the board of directors, after a careful consideration, that proposed to investigate such opportunity. And then will be the special committee to evaluate the feasibility and the possibility to launch the tender offer. As said before, we must respect some mandatory requirements and follow necessary steps to give the special committee the authorization to execute the transaction, whether it would be considered appropriate. One of the items is to convene a shareholder meeting entitled to grant such authority to repurchase as for the standard buyback and cancel shares. So I think that we should limit on that specific factual information. So thank you very much. Now it's time to enter in the Q&A session. Let me just say that on this possible PSTO transaction, today we are in the condition to answer based on the board of directors' decision to evaluate the deal. So we can't comment or speculate about uncertain future events. We will stay on the facts, and we want to discuss on possible future scenario coming out from an event that is still to be evaluated. So please consider that the answers given to your possible question on that respect will be given on behalf of the board of directors. So please, we can enter in the Q&A session.
The first question is from Nicolò Pessina from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a few questions. The first one is on A&P spending. I'm wondering if you could provide to us some details about the offline campaigns you took in the first half of the year, which kind of feedback you got, if you could maybe quantify which kind of a pickup of transactions, of contacts, of visits to websites as a result of these initiatives, and if you're happy with such investments and if the return you got is in line with your expectations. Second question on labor costs. It seems to me that the increase of senior professionals and the change in labor laws in Switzerland are structural changes. So should we expect a similar increase in the labor cost also in the second half of the year? And last question about the self-tender offer, if I may, just to disclose if you plan a delisting of a company in the long term. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Hello.
Yeah, please.
Okay. No, Nicolo, I can answer directly. So about the marketing, we think we had an expectation of having a return on this campaign, of course. The point is that TV campaign is more in the long term, is it to build a brand equity. So while all our campaign have a return on investment in the short term, that is positive. So we measure everything with ROI, and is always above 100%. For TV, it's below 100%. We don't disclose for competitive reason exactly which is the number, but I would say it is in line with our expectation. So we are positive and we are continuing to do that also in the second half of the year. About the cost of the people, the second question, we took the occasion, let's say, last year to really revamp and high the level of our team. So it's true that the minimum salary, we have a new agreement from last year with the trade union in Switzerland, so our minimum salary rise significantly. But we take this to have good people. So at the end, we have an average salary in Chiasso that is still very good. It's around 4,000 Swiss franc and allow us to hire a good team. So we are not, let's say, worry about this minimum salary. It's more our decision to increase the quality of the people. If you think we are spread in five different offices in different countries, because we have many offices in Chiasso, where we have the higher quarter, the more high-level people. In Spain, we have a lower labor cost. In UK, it's quite high, but we have only specialized people. Then we have local team in Germany, and in France, and then we have also more than 100 people in Bangalore in India. So we managed to have in each country the right skills. So the decision to hire, to increase the HR cost is more our own decision, is not related to regulatory reasons.
Okay, Nicole, I will respond to your last question regarding the PSTO. I want to remind that today the board of directors is reviewing the opportunity to launch a transaction which is a partial self-tender offer, and is just investigating this opportunity today, and this opportunity will be evaluated. It is necessary to receive a grant from an EGM. So we are talking about, in any case, a process which is only started today and is based on the consideration of the board of directors to evaluate the PSTO opportunity. So at that specific moment, we are not talking about, in any case, about the listing or whatever else.
Okay, very clear. Many thanks.
Hey, please, if there are some other questions.
The next question is from Lea Sens from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Yeah, I have a question because in March you said that you were still willing to do further further acquisition, further M&A. I just wanted to know if this share buyback is changing your plan, or if you could maybe raise some debt to finance further acquisition. Thank you.
It's not changing our plan. We still have, good pipeline of M&A in this period. We think we have a capital structure that is not very efficient, having more than 70 million of cash. And we are talking with the banks to finance the stuff, so we can do, if we decide to go ahead with the decision that the percentage of we decide to do of tender. We have internal resource available, and we are always discussing when there is a potential acquisition to have some financing to finance the acquisition. So this is these things can go in parallel. And at the end, one of the reasons, let's say, that the tender is one of the potential use of our cash that we think could be efficient at this point. But I mean, we are in continuous contact with the banks, and we will, of course, only pursue acquisition or tender if we have a very secure financial resources.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Deacon McLellan from Microequities Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Your guidance for revenue and EBITDA to be sort of flat on 2016 implies a pretty big swing in the second half. Can you just talk about the driver of that? And secondly, the growth, I guess, in your OTA, travel and leisure, looked a little bit light this half. Can you just talk about the different drivers in that sort of 2% growth? Thank you.
Okay, can respond regarding the guidance. We are still confirming our guidance for the full year, which was flat, as you remind, in terms of revenue and EBITDA with respect to the last year. Of course, if you see our result in the first half 2017 compared to the first half 2016, which I remind was one of the strongest semester in the recent history of the company, are in any case, in terms of revenue, substantially aligned. In terms of EBITDA, impacted by discretionary decisions of the management to invest more, based on the fact that the business KPIs mainly referring to the strategic OTA areas, the meta business and the media business, are good. That will be the main trigger for the second half. So the fact that our strategic areas are going very well, and so we expect in the second half to have good results from them. Of course, we are suffering on flights, so it could look like ambitious to reach the same results of the last year, given the first half in which the flight decreased to such extent. But we have in any case to remind also that the second half of the last year was not so positive compared to the first half. So we have launched initiatives in marketing, as Fabio reminded before, that have a medium to long term positive impact. We are revamping our website, as we always do, and we are seeing some good effect in terms of conversion. We are also improving our capability in upselling and cross-selling ancillary product, which is strategic based on the fact that the standalone product, such as flights and hotel, are more commoditized than before, and also prices became more commoditized, and so the competition on price is very strong. So the capability to sell
ancillary services from insurance to all other services and products at destination for the traveler or before departure or at your returns are key to sustain the profitability and to achieve our results. So, in essence, we see the possibility to look at the guidance with confidence and to respect the guidance as we officially set. Any other question?
The next question is from Andreas Kauri from Banca Ifigest. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Coming back to the last point you touched, Nicolò, I was wondering on the flight business, what's your feeling? Do you think that are we close to an inflection point in this trend of declining rates, or meaning a stabilization, or do you think there might be some additional pressure on this part of the business? And second question, technical question, I didn't understand very well. In case the special committee decide to go ahead with this option of 33.3% repurchase, once it is approved, is it then mandatory or it remains an option? Thank you.
I answer to these two questions. So first, for the flights, let's say that from one side, we also get some advantage of this flight competition because we don't have to forget that it just cost our meta search is going very well. So from one side, we are getting advantage of this trend. From the other side, as in general, the meta are becoming more relevant in the market, we are losing. So we think this trend is going in this direction. There is some work that we are doing that is having a more margin in the ancillary services, as all the airlines are doing. So we are working a lot on that, and we did a lot of improvement. But it's clear that if you look at the future, the margin of the flights will go down. The volume probably will stay similar, and the margin of ancillary, if it will be very good, can be offset the decreasing of the margin on agency fee.
Okay.
This is a clear trend. Regarding the potential tender, it's not mandatory. It's a tender. Let's say that just to specify, we try and we approve to buy our shell 2 times, 2 years ago and this year. The problem is that in the normal day-to-day trade, we are not really getting enough shares to buy. So this tender basically is in line with our trend of the last 2 years. So the company believe that it's a good deal to buy the company today, so want to do a stronger share buyback or evaluate it at least to do that. And so this is the way to do in one step to buy more shares. Then, of course, each investor will decide if we will propose this plan, because as we said, I repeat, it's just an approval of the shareholder meeting, and then it's the committee that will decide the time and the condition. We'll have 18 months. It's a long-term plan, and we can decide how much and at which price we can decide eventually to buy some shares. And then, of course, each investor can decide if they prefer to sell some shares, all their shares, or whatever.
It's clear to me that the minority shareholders can decide to tender or not to tender. I was wondering if once the special board approves this partial tender offer, then the company is obliged to launch it, or it remains an option for 18 months for the company?
But it's let's say that the process is the committee proposed the board, and then it's already approved by the shareholder meeting. So when the committee decide, the board can decide to proceed or not. And
okay.
Let's say, and even when can do even it's an option that we have. Let's say.
Okay,
then
it remains
can,
an option.
Even this decision, if the shareholder meeting on the end of the 20th September approve this resolution, then we have 18 months. In these 18 months, in any moment, the committee can decide to do that or not to do that.
Okay,
totally. Decide, it's already decided because we have already the approval of the shareholder meeting. So
okay.
It's like an option that we can then try to exercise whenever we want.
Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Felix Remmers from Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Two questions from my side. I'm sorry if you have answered them. I dropped out of the call. Assuming that the shareholder agreement doesn't sell any shares and the company will buy, you know, up to 33%, then the shareholder agreement probably would need to make an offer for the whole company. Is that correct, technically? Because then you would cross the 49%, which would trigger such an event. And just wondering if the shareholder agreement containing, you know, free sailors would also consider selling shares in this share buyback.
Felix, this is Nicolò. Thank you for your question. The first question is very clear, and the response is no. So there is no mandatory requirement that imposes the shareholder agreement to launch an offer as a result of the fact that they will overtake the 49%. There are technical questions or things. I would like to not go in details right now, but the essential fact is that the shareholder agreement is now already above 33.3%, and that does not trigger the obligation to launch an offer on the total capital. So this is the first technical question. And regarding the second question, so the possibility of the major shareholder, so the shareholder agreement to tender their shares in the case the transaction will be launched. First of all, I would say that it's not already obviously decided because this is an option that is brought to the table by the board of directors and is made in the interest of the company. And so they proposed this option in the interest of the company and talking about the company and not talking about the shareholders or discussing with them this kind of opportunity. Of course, what I can say is that the major shareholders of the company are strongly committed with the strategy of the company. So it's more likely to see the shareholders, the actual shareholders of the company to stay in the company and not to tender their shares. But this is something that we should see in the future once and whether the transaction will take place, if it will take place, at what conditions and terms, depending on market condition and the timing of the offer itself.
Thank you. But one follow-up, I mean, how is that technically possible? Because I see in your annual report that you don't have an opting out clause in your annual report. So why doesn't need shareholder agreement in the case they cross the 49% to make a full offer? How is that possible? Is that related to the Dutch regulation?
Is related to not to the Dutch regulation, but to the Swiss regulation, and it refers specifically on the fact that, as I mentioned before, the shareholder agreement now is already above 33.3%, which is the relevant threshold that trigger or not these mandatory requirements. And this also is important and worthwhile to say that this trigger also the fact that there are no minimum price rules to be
be applied to the transaction in case the transaction will be launched. In any case, the special committee, who is entitled to investigate this opportunity, of course, will evaluate the transaction from a legal perspective with the support of external advisors and lead from Switzerland, from the Netherlands, and whatever else. But as of today, these are clear statements received from the board in their initial investigation regarding the transaction.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Alan Bucher from AWP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning. My question is about the change of location. You recently announced that you're going to go to the Centro Valle in Chiasso. I would like to know what impact this could have on your operations, if you're planning any, and also if you are expecting any extra costs to this operation, and if it's going to impact in any way your recruitment processes. Thank you.
So I can answer that. So first, I have to say the movement is not yet confirmed, because we are still waiting. So the topic is still waiting all the authorization from the government. So as long as we don't have everything confirmed, and that we never announce these things, when if we decide, we will announce that. Given that, if we go there, that is still a possibility. Of course, it's a strong possibility. It's for us, there is no additional cost in the rent. It's similar considering the space that we have and the possibility also to have, let's say, more facility for our employees that today we rent outside. And there is, of course, a cost of a small cost of transformation, but most of the cost is owed by the landlord. So at the end, there is not a relevant financial impact. We do have more space because we will have a flexible agreement. And so, in theory, if we can increase the quality of working the, of our employees, or even if we want to increase the number of teams. So, yeah, is there to have a better environment for our employees. And this is the main reason why we are looking at this movement. And so the impact will be in the quality of the working hours, and no relevant impact on the account.
The next question is a follow-up question from Leah Sands. Please go ahead. Ms. Sands, maybe your line is muted.
Oops, yeah, you are me? Yeah, sorry. You announced a share buyback of maximum 10% of the share capital in March. It's still confirmed, or it should be maybe included in the new tender?
Hello, Leah. I can respond to this question. The board proposes to at that moment to stop the current share buyback program until the settlement of the tender offer, if any. And so I remind you that in any case, our share buyback program recently was very, we were talking about very few shares per day, because we have a limit imposed by the rules, which is very strict. So the decision today is to stop until the settlement of the self-tender offer. Then, if the self-tender offer will occur, then we will talk about the self-tender offer. If not, we will discuss again at the board level the opportunity to relaunch the share buyback program. And so at the moment, you won't see any shares repurchased by the company until a pronunciation of the special committee regarding the settlement offer.
Okay, very clear. Thanks, Nicola.
The next question is from Harry Hilgarth from Quaero. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just one quick question on the PSTO. I was just wondering if the aim of this is to change your structure, your capital structure, that is. Has a special dividend been considered by the board, and is that an alternative that you would consider rather than buying shares?
I can respond to this question, and thanks for giving the opportunity to say something about this. As Fabio mentioned before, the main reason why the board of directors took in consideration the opportunity to investigate this partial self-tender offer is the fact that the company now has a strong financial position, meaning we are talking about 80 million net cash. And one of the options is to better allocate the cash and then redefine the capital structure in a more effective way. To respond to your direct or indirect question regarding the dividends or other options considered at the moment, I would say that the only option considered at the moment is the PSTO. But if you want to, let's say, just add some word on that, the PSTO itself could be seen as a sort of dividend in the sense that if the PSTO will occur, then in fact, we will open a sort of liquidity window for 10 to 20 trading days in which minority shareholders or all the shareholders can tender their shares at a certain fixed price. So that's a sort of also, let me say, even if it's only my personal comment, is a way also to give the opportunity to shareholders to exit from their investments without stressing the share price in the short run. And this, in some way, could be also considered as a sort of dividend because, in general terms, share buyback is a way to release a dividend. It's a different way. It's a different technical aspect, but the effect is substantially the same in our view and the view of the board of directors.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up on that. Of course, you're right in terms of a share back and a dividend. That they are, well, they should be theoretically the same. But you could argue that after a recent IPO, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the IPO was in 2014. You could argue that buying back your shares so soon afterwards means that you've lost faith in the market. Is that a fair comment or not?
What we can comment today is the fact that the PSTO is an option that the board of directors today consider the most appropriate to be evaluated based on the fact that the company is now having a long-term oriented strategy, and that could affect the ability of the same company to release excellent result in the short term as the market is always asking. So even considering that aspect and the fact that we have cash in advance and that our capital structure is now not efficient as it could be, the board consider this option as the most suitable option considering all these elements and considering the fact that the result of that would be to give this opportunity to shareholders to have a liquidity window in which to tender their shares and to consolidate the shareholding structure around the shareholders that are
willing to believe that the long-term strategy of the group is for them feasible, suitable, and the objective that the company is setting are achievable in the medium to long run. This is the comment we can give you at that moment.
Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at the moment.
Okay, if we do not have any other questions, I think we can thank you all for your participation in our first half 2017 results investor relator call. And on behalf of the board of directors of Stefano and Fabio, I will thank you all. And so if there are no other follow-up questions, I can conclude this call. And yes. Let's have another call in the future for the full year result, and if any, a call regarding the potential PSTO transaction if launched by the special committee. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.